Axe 7. Verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he.
Acts 7:28.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Luke 7:28.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not being baptized of John. So somehow, the mystery of accepting what Jesus was saying was dependent on them being baptized of John. Understand?
Say that sentence again.
Somehow, in some relationship, the understanding of Christ's words depended on whether they were baptized of John or not.
Yeah, that's a strange...
Yeah, I've never seen that twist there.
Now, why is that? Why would he say that? First of all, he was talking to those that were baptized of John about John being greatest of all prophets. And those that were baptized of him understood what it meant to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And they did it with physicality. They walked to the other side of the Jordan River, determining and saying in themselves and publicly that they were not worthy to enter the kingdom of God. Now, for someone to have the authority to cause people to do that was unheard of.
But the internal transaction of someone who did it then
defined what hearing is.
Open their ears.
Because they saw in baptism that they were buried.
Yeah.
Whereas a Pharisee,
well, I mean, they stayed on the other side and watched this transaction,
yeah,
and were appalled. And what did John the Baptist call them? You sons of the serpent. You see, there might be something really, really, really big here about repentance.
About what?
Repentance. What, Mr. Bojo? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I'm thinking of when I was a kid and you go to Catholic Church, the kahuna would come down and he'd pass out communion. There'd be two or three elders that would pass out communion also, and everybody would get in his line. They wouldn't go to the line. I used to wonder about that when I was a kid.
They wanted to get the top guy.
That's why it's so fascinating to me when we have James put the oil on for healing, our prayers. Anyhow, this is as big as it gets.
This is wild. I've never considered this at all. Yeah. Directly linking that baptism of repentance and everything to...
You're either... And the idea here, again, there's no in-between. You either are a son of the snake or you were born again. You're baptized from above. You were born from above. There's no in-between. And one determines the other. There's only the bride and the whore. You're only vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. There's only a child of Satan or child of God. There's not any in between.
Yeah, that's why if you find yourself in between, you're useless to God.
Right, because the garment is spotted by the flesh. No matter what your belief system is, what you talk about. What Josiana was talking about, from our perspective, we spotted our garment by the flesh.
It's like going to your death is the result of hearing the words.
Amen.
It can't have another.
There's no other meaning.
Different options of what happens when you hear his words. You really haven't heard him right, unless.
That's why
Paul says. Let's go to 2 Timothy here a minute. Maybe it's first. I can't find it. Well, anyway, where it says there's no private interpretation of Scripture, that's in 1 Peter.
1 Peter.
I think. I'm trying to find it, just so you know. I don't think I'm making it up.
Yeah.
One of you with your little computer Bible should be able to find it instantly. There is no private interpretation of Scripture. No, it's 2 Peter, chapter 1.
You all right, Joseph?
Huh?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Verse 18. And this voice, and this he's talking about the voice they heard of God when they were in the Mount of Transfiguration. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And the word prophecy there just could also mean interpretation or preaching. There is no prophecy of the Scripture that is of any private interpretation. That's a big deal. Doesn't matter what we think about the word, what we think it means. Remember when we first started, everybody would, well, not everybody, a few people would say, well, this is what I think that means. And I kept saying, nobody cares what you think it means. What? You're doing it.
Well, I always took a little different position on that.
Tell me what.
I like to hear what people think. And then they know what they're thinking when they say it. Speaking.
Yeah, but they don't say it in repentance. They say it in terms of this is what it means to me.
Right. I'm always, you know, but that need, to me, that needs to be exposed.
Well, I mean, I'm saying if it's exposed, it needs to be chopped down, too.
Absolutely. But if it's not exposed, there's no chopping. That's my thing.
I don't always know what I'm thinking. I'll say what I say.
You don't know what I'm thinking.
All right, go back to Luke.
We've talked about all this stuff before, about born and women and greater and prophets and least and kingdom, publicans, justified, Pharisees, lawyers. Well, let's spend a minute on lawyers in verse 30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not being baptized of him. Publicans as telones, they were the ones, the collector of taxes. The Pharisees are comes from the word pharah in Hebrew, which means those that separate. So if you separate the kingdom of God from the kingdom of from your life, you have secular and spiritual, then you're a Pharisee. No matter what you say or think, if in your mind you separate, if everything isn't spiritual, then nothing is. Do you understand? If the slightest thing you do isn't as important as the most imaginative thing you do, then you're ranking, so you're separate. You separate. Capisce?
That's the nature of man, isn't it?
Well, it's the nature of the beast.
Right.
But that's why it's the tell in the cosmic poker game. Are you redeemed? We can't mess around with that person because he's not redeemed. Pharisee.
We'll taint ourselves.
And all of us have a little Pharisee in us. That's why we must exhort one another daily if we see it happening. Now, lawyers are nomikos. I can't pronounce it. It's one learned in the law, an interpreter. But it's not necessary. It's any. The law is the word nomos. And it just means the way a thing works in the natural. It could be the law is the law of mathematics is 2 + 2 = 4. That's what prudence is. You're prudent if you see that 2 + 2 = 4 according to world standards. But according to God, you're a lawyer.
It's almost like whatever place your expertise gets in the way of you hearing and seeing the truth.
Well, you know, yeah, but it's
like
what
expertise that is.
Right, but I want you to see that the law isn't just this law. It's the law of cause and effect. It's the law of gravity. It's the law of whatever.
We're talking about the lawyers.
Yeah. There was a fascinating program about on NPR yesterday about subatomic particles and how they're finally be able to use them in real life and delivery of medicine and all that. And this woman that was the PhD said something, and I had forgotten even this about this theory at all. But there's a theory in higher math that it's called the swarm theory. Anybody? Mr. Bojo, I'm sure, is familiar with it. Anybody? Swarm theory?
Like a swarm of bees?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's what an ant colony of ants and a hive of bees. It's the appearance of randomness that creates
kind of the unity of a thing that's
right.
Happening.
Well, that's what the body of Christ is. It's part of the swarm theory. Because the only way it can work is if you lose consciousness of self. If you have any self-consciousness, then your ideas and the way of man cause you to move away from that which is the mystery of God, the creation of the bride. Even in one really interesting way, each cell of your body as it's formed, your body is formed by swarm theory. But if any one of your cells decided it was going to go and do its own thing, then it becomes part of the afterbirth instead of the birth. So if you have a consciousness of self in whatever you're doing, then you've left the mystery of God. That's why even people that talk about God, you know, all the time, but it always ends up with the I motive, then they've left this mystery. What? You're doing it.
You just did this swarm at all.
Have you ever watched bees or ants or any of those animals?
And just,
yeah, isn't it fascinating?
The most fascinating, I think, is like a swarm, like a flock of birds.
Same thing. And they move all at one
as
time.
They move as one entity, and it's just so weird.
Ronnie, if you don't stop raising your hand, I'm going to come on and slap you silly. Just say something.
I have a swarm of ants in my bathroom.
Well, I'm happy for you. You can learn something from them. Not to have any consciousness of self.
Oh yeah.
You want to speak about conscious? You want to speak? Let me give you our little friend Ronnie.
I learned something.
Every morning, I go around and for this whole area and pick up paper and cans and stuff. And so Ronnie was down there walking this way, and he's about 3 feet away from it, and he points to me and says, "There's a can over here," and then he keeps walking. Do you understand? And he thought, but my point is, it's like it's a form of the Pat Booth syndrome. Go find a homeless person and bring him to Trinity. You understand? If you see the need, you meet it. That's what swarm theory does. He who sees the need is the one that meets it. That used to drive Harry insane, because he'd say, he'd have all his stuff. This should be, what's that? Go do it, Harry. That's not my job. Your job is whatever you see, to be faithful to it. What?
It's not my job.
Who's telling me?
Well, it was either one. When you think about what you're going to say, I'm not going to pay any attention to you.
Don't worry about it. It really wasn't germane to the subject.
All right.
Huh? Richardson in our Columbia homeowners meeting the other day, he came up with this, and we need to do this, and you know, he's throwing out this grand meeting that we need to do this and this. I said, "That's a great idea, and I'd like to put you in charge of it." He shrunk like a raisin.
All right, everybody have a little bit of understanding what swarm theory is with regard as a way of describing the mystery of the kingdom of God. It's the opposite of what religion does. Religion defines your office and defines the function of that office, and that's what you do. That's what's done in the world. But the Spirit of God moves on us each independently without regard to position or rank or anything else. If you see a need, you meet it. There's no programs, no agendas, no plans. There's total abandonment and faithfulness to that mystery. Amen?
Amen. Cool setup.
Mr. Bojo, you're thinking.
Not on purpose.
What's your response to all this? This is right up your alley.
Listen, I hear you. I put my response. Yeah. Great. It's fascinating. It's true. Swarm theory actually started as a part of chaos.
Amen. Parents of chaos.
Parents of chaos. And they honed it down, and it's just the absolute inverse of that.
And it's what's happening at the subatomic level all the time. According to this person I heard yesterday.
So things are swarming all the time.
Subatomic mm-hmm. particles. It's swarm. Everything's a swarm.
Like two disparate particles behave as though they know the existence of the other somehow.
And it's happening within your own body.
No, yeah, it's happening.
It's leaving you out though.
But once you have consciousness of self, then you become a cancer cell.
Yeah, the verse about no private interpretation means
Amen.
There's no application of any of this to myself.
Amen.
You
know,
applying it, then that's when everything starts to go haywire, because you're thinking about yourself and you start bumping into, tripping up the people around you that are, you know, in the sink of the spirit.
Oh yeah, you destroy the mystery. You try to, without knowing you're trying to.
Speaking of a swarm.
We have a swarm of Nick.
Uh-oh.
come to arrest Ronnie. Arrest him, will you?
I didn't do it.
Arrest Ronnie. Now,
you need to come to arrest him.
For high crimes and misdemeanors.
Oh, now he's sucking up.
There's only one guy he got to turn on.
What?
Nothing, only one.
What'd you say, Nick? What'd you say? What did you say?
It's irrelevant. Don't worry about it.
All right. That which may be known of God is revealed in the things that he has made. Who would have thunk that watching bees or ants could give us a humongous hint into this mystery of God? They have no self-consciousness. It appears to be random. But each one simply does what he's programmed to do. But if that bee could think, if that bee had a consciousness of self, or the ant did, it'd be worthless. If you have a consciousness of self, you are worthless to the kingdom of God. I used to say that the prosperity gospel preachers like Copeland and their followers, they didn't believe in the Holy Trinity, they believed in the unholy quartet. But I've come to see that it's not just prosperity gospel Christians, it's anyone who says, I am here. There's only the Trinity. We are dead. If you believe and have a function that you define for yourself and a consciousness of self, then you've made the Holy Trinity unholy. So it's the unholy quartet. Any response to this? That's kind of strong.
Yeah, one. I guess if we have abandoned our surrender completely, then are you saying that all of us have a...
You have no consciousness of self.
I know that, but are you saying that we also have a spiritual life force?
No, you have Jesus Christ himself living his life in you, and he is the way.
So you're talking about the swarming.
That it's just the same thing, because there is a revelation of Christ in that swarm theory.
There's a power in that.
Of course. Amen. Just as there is in everything. If everything were written about Jesus Christ and who and what he does, the world would not be big enough to fill the books about him. All that may be known of God is revealed in the things that he has made. So stop seeing at and begin to see through. Because everything in this universe reveals him. But the lawyers or the Pharisees, those that separate, they see nothing. And the issue is, they think they know. They think they see. That's why somebody that says they want to be Archbishop somebody or another, that means they want the identity that comes with that position. And once they want the identity that comes with that position, they've lost their place in the kingdom of God.
I said bishop, not archbishop.
Same thing. There's no ranking of importance. Anything, because everything equally reveals the mystery of Christ. If you only had eyes to see. Well, the next thing, the next
comes with baptism.
Like that. So that's the meaning of baptism. If you're dead, Your mind is gone. I heard somebody, God gave us a mind so that we could fulfill our destiny. Guess who said that? No. Joel Osteen. He was being interviewed.
I was going to say the Unabomber.
Yeah. Anyhow, we we're going to spend a lot of time on talking about the counsel of God, because it says next, all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against them, not being baptized in John. So the counsel of God is what we're going to study next.
Yeah,
that's
wild.
Amen.
Wild stuff.
Anybody have any response to any of this?
I was just thinking of John the Baptist's basic message was...
bring forth fruit, necessary for repentance.
Well, repent, and that prepares the way, because the preparation is this acceptance and knowledge of your death, and the way is then prepared.
Amen.
You can now hear, you can see, you can understand.
But there's not two of you anymore.
Yeah.
The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's not me and Jesus. As I've said so often, you don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. And that's the kind of stuff that will get you hated of all men. That's why if you're suffering, you're being a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. You don't can't suffer. You're dead. All right. Take it, big guy.